idolizes his cousin. His cousin has a new baby brother. So they had to buy my grandson a baby doll.
A baby doll?
A baby doll. Because River has a brother. He needed one too. That's what you got to look for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the older ones, they not so much.
Yeah.
At that age.
So she was no, one time in the year.
Yeah.
James running, he comes in before he gets there, he's crying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So while we're waiting, we'll start on page 19 with the budget.
That's the only one that has to be there for?
Yeah, for budget committee, I think. I'm going to ask afterwards if anybody wants to review anything at this point before I write up the warrant and finalize it, but.
I have 7 minutes.
Why don't you go on, then we'll finish starting the meeting after that, because I know we have a time issue.
Okay.
I do have a recording, so.
Okay. So on page 19, I took one of Dayton's numbers for GMFR, and Matt brought it to my attention. So if we could revote budget committee and board on GMFR for $560,050.
Say the number again. Sorry.
Dave?
So moved. Second.
What was the number?
$562,050.
Oh, okay. So
it's right there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yep.
Any discussion from anybody? Here?
Dave made the motion and I
second. Right. So is there any discussion? Nope. All those in favor? Yep. 5-0.
Budget committee.
Did you want to say something?
Yeah, my only question was, is that the operations and the personnel combined?
Yes.
And in the past that's typically been two separate articles. Are you doing it as one this year?
Yes.
You make a motion for $562,050.
Who make that motion?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on it? Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Is there anything else before I finalize the warrant, because I'm going to leave here and do that anybody wants to review or go through again?
Yeah, I'm going to make a motion that we had added 5,000 into personnel. I make a motion that we take that 5,000 back out.
Bill, would you explain to me why that was added in?
That was added in based on a motion. And it was to give a pay raise.
Okay,
and we've looked at it and decided we need to look at the overall.
Okay, I'll second that motion.
Any discussion? All those in favor? 2-0. Okay. It fails. Good. It's where it is.
Okay. I'll bring your water back soon.
2-0. Okay. I'd like to start the regular part of the meeting, if I could. So I'd like to welcome everybody to the May 23rd regular meeting of the Lyman Board of Selectmen. This is a public proceeding and is being recorded. The agenda is subject to change without notice. Would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, Mr. Vigue. Just to give you a heads up on a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Charter Communications. has been asking us to sign a contract.
Right.
A vague contract.
Right.
And the gist of what I caught out of it is that 5% that the towns can charge to bring in income through
a franchise fee.
The franchise fee.
Yep.
Okay. They want to take that to allow us to have a TV channel. That's basically what I got out of their contract.
It never ceases to amaze me.
That's never a good reaction.
So if you can give us some insight as to what we should be looking at, where things are at, we're not up for giving them that 5%.
Do you currently receive a franchise fee from Charter?
I don't believe so. We don't get anything.
You don't get anything?
No.
The franchise fee, I think I've explained this before, is a rental fee that the town is allowed to charge the cable operator for using its public right-of-way. And that public right-of-way might be the dusty side of the road where the pole goes, but it still belongs to you guys. It belongs to the public. Under the law, it's the same as the public park. And you would no more allow a company to come into your public park and set up shop and sell their wares in the public park for free. You wouldn't do that. You would charge them something for the use of that park. So under federal laws, you're allowed to charge the cable operator a rental fee for using that space. Phone and power don't get charged this rental fee because they're considered necessities. Cable is not a necessity, cable TV. Although some people give you an argument on that. But cable TV in itself, under the law, the way it's currently written, is not a necessity. So you're allowed to charge this rental fee. Well, most companies absorb a rental fee as the cost of doing business. Cable operators are different. They pass it directly through to their subscribers and put it at the bottom of their bill. So it looks like a tax that the town is assessing them. Okay. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't get this rental fee, if you don't get this franchise fee, if you don't charge them for using their right-of-way, their rates on the customer's bills are going to be just as high as they would be if you were getting that fee. And I'll tell you why. That fee prevents them from charging that little bit extra, which is called as much as the market will bear. Any business who sells a product knows what that dollar amount is before somebody, in the case of cable, cuts the cord and go gets a satellite dish. Okay? So they know how much they can charge. And if that bottom line on that bill that they get every month is up to that amount, then they know they can't charge any more than that. But if that bottom line includes a franchise fee that you get to use for your own purposes, whatever you want to do with it, they can't charge that fee because it's already been taken by you. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? It prevents them from charging as much as they could because you're getting a part of it.
What they explained to me was that we could charge up to that 5% and they're going to pass it through.
That's right. They do. They give it right. They pass it through to their customers. Not only do they do that, but when they collect it from their customers, they put it in an account. And typically, they keep it in that account for a whole year collecting interest. And then they pay you at the end of the year what they collected from the customers, but not the interest. So they make money on that amount, okay? But the reason they don't want you guys to charge a franchise fee is because it prevents them from charging the full amount. I've seen bills from towns that have a franchise fee, and right next door is a town that doesn't collect a franchise fee, and the bottom line on the basic cable fee is the same for both towns. And the only difference is town B, who gets the franchise fee, gets to keep a portion of their gross income that the cable company makes. And my job here isn't to convince you to go one way or the other. My job here is to just give you the facts and let you make the decision. That's what you're paying me to do. No skin off my nose which way you go. But I want you to be educated about all the facts. And believe me, cable operator is not going to educate you about all the facts. They're going to tell you what their attorneys have told their folks to tell you. And there are certain things that the town is allowed to do, is able to do, that they won't tell you about. So it's up to you guys to decide if you want to do that.
So if we were to charge that 5%,
yep,
that's not going to get added onto the townspeople's cable bill?
You'll see it show up on the bill, okay? It'll show up on the bill. And for a few months, or maybe in a few years, not even, that bill may be a little bit higher temporarily, but in the long run, it's going to be the same as other towns who don't get the fee.
So it's basically a political move for them to add that on the bill to the customers that way.
It's a way for them to avoid having to pay that rental fee to the town. They pass it through to their customers. But what ends up happening is they're going to charge that amount anyway, regardless of whether or not you get the fee. They charge as much as the market will bear. Any good business knows what the market will bear, and that's what they'll charge. And I hate to say it, but as you know, they've increased the price so many times that they're losing cable subscribers. People are now getting their TV on the Internet. I mean, cable TV, I'm no crystal ball guy. Mine isn't any clearer than anybody else's, but from what I read, traditional cable TV will be gone in 10 years. Everybody will be watching TV on the Internet through applications. And the new folks that are coming along, like Consolidated Communications, GWI, people were formerly phone companies, but now they're offering an app that looks like cable TV. That's the way things are going to go. And so franchising eventually will disappear, just because there won't be enough customers to subscribe to cable TV, which was set up in the 1970s to allow towns to collect this rental fee to get on the public right away. The problem is, both cable and Internet use the same damn wires now. They didn't always used to, but now they do.
Mm.
Fiber, okay? But under the law, they're two different entities. Cable TV is treated separately from the way Internet is treated under the law. And you can't negotiate anything about the Internet with your cable franchise agreement. It's considered a separate entity, even though it goes down the same darn wire, you know. And what's happened is the federal laws have not caught up with technology. The Cable Act was written in 1984. And, yeah, there's been a lot of calls to rewrite it to take, you know, advantage of new technologies and reflect what's actually happening out there in the real world. But then you have folks saying, be careful what you wish for. Because the cable industry and the Internet folks have very powerful lobbies in Congress. And that law that was written, basically, that had a lot of consumer protections built into it and municipal rights built into it, will all go away. Because the lobbyists are so prevalent at the FCC and in the Congress. It will be a real hard time for towns and nonprofit organizations like PBS and those kind of folks to have any say in the way the cable law will be rewritten. So it doesn't look good in the long term, but my advice, quite frankly, is to do as much as you can now for the laws that exist. And if they allow you to collect a rental fee, go ahead and collect it. But, again, that's up to you. I can put you in touch with several town managers that have gone through the same agonizing thing in the past.
Any kind of dollar figure? That
how many subscribers are in this town? Less than 1,000?
It's about 1,000.
About 1,000?
Yeah.
You probably get 10 grand a year out of this. But then over 10 years, that's $100,000. You know, it amounts up. And you could use that money for additional equipment in town here. You could fill potholes with it if you want. And road commissioner? Yeah, okay. Well, so we discourage that.
So how are we doing with our franchise agreement?
Well, the only thing that's changed in the 3-4 years I've been helping you folks is the personnel here.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone through a couple of treasurers and secretaries, clerks here. But the way I left it with Donna was I gave her a franchise, we call an RFP, request for proposal, that I had worked out with Brad Morin, your attorney, and a cover letter to send to Shelley Winchenbach, who was the charter representative. And that's the first step, and they would in turn send it back, usually redlined, full of things that they don't agree with. But then that's when you start your negotiations. But you go into negotiations.
Could you make sure we have a copy of that?
Oh, you do. I've already checked with Jeanette.
Oh, okay, and good.
All right. She has both those items, as well as a recommended cable franchise ordinance, because I don't think you guys have an ordinance for cable franchising. And ordinances are typically the place where you put in your penalties and fines for noncompliance. And that typically doesn't go on a franchise agreement. And cable companies hate that. They typically write into the franchise agreement a paragraph which is called the controlling document, where the franchise is a controlling document and any other agreements that the town has come up with doesn't count. And so we try to avoid having that in the franchise agreement because your ordinance does count. There are two state statutes that one of them is that control cable TV. One of them is ordinances for cable TV, and the other is consumer protections for cable TV. And that's what I've been working with for the last 30 years. And you also had a question about internet service here in the town and broadband build-out and all that, and if I could help you with that. And I have to tell you, I know enough about that to be dangerous, but I don't have the time or the knowledge to help you do the planning and to coordinate with the state Connect Me Authority. But there are people who do that. And I've given Jeanette a contact person at Casco Bay Advisors who's helped other towns in the area. My contact there is a fellow named Mike Edgecombe. And he was previously, and many years ago, a selectman in the town of Limestone. And he worked at Time Warner Cable for 30 years. And then when Charter came in, he took an early out because he didn't like the way things were going at Charter. And he has this 30 years of experience as a cable government relations manager for the cable operators that he's now using to help towns with their franchise and also internet broadband expansion. And Casco Bay Advisors hired him to do that. And he has both a global knowledge from being the government relations manager and a global, a granular, what I like to call a granular knowledge, because he's done write-outs on most of the roads in Maine, looking at the darn wires and all the roads. So, you know, he knows it from both sides. And there are other companies that do assist towns with their broadband efforts. And it's hard when you don't have a champion in your town who knows about this stuff, who knows the people to contact up in Augusta, who knows the forms to fill out. So most smaller towns like you do hire someone to help them with that because they don't have that expertise in town. And I'm just saying I'm not that guy in this case.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Give you that one example of someone who is.
That's good. Do you gentlemen have any particular questions, additional?
No. There's one other thing that will come up. I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
Sometimes the cable operator will tell you, okay, we'll pay you a franchise fee, but then you pay us that money back, and we'll run broadband down these roads for you. Okay, that's another thing they try. And anyone who's familiar with the term return on investment, that term, what they're doing is they're asking you to do the investment, and they get the return. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well,
they had commented that Charter would fund some of the broadband expansion.
Yeah.
And we said, well, how much is that? Mm-hmm. And they said, well, we have to know how many sites are going to be done.
How many roads.
And how much money you're going to get from the state.
Yeah.
Then they can tell us what they're going to pay for.
And that's true.
So we've kind of held back.
Yeah, that's true. You need to do a survey, you know, and that's what these folks like Casco Bay Advisors does, is they do surveys and to fill out the forms. And yeah.
Okay.
But that's that story.
Do you have something, Rusty?
I'm happy to
John,
take
do you have any
questions?
No?
Is that negotiable, that last spot, at all?
What's that?
The the fees that you were just talking about.
The franchise fee?
Yeah.
Yeah, the town can charge this rental fee up to 5% of their franchise, the gross revenue that the cable company makes.
Yeah.
So you can charge 1%, 2%, 3%, whatever you want. The maximum that's allowed is 5%.
So if they came back and they said what you just said, the ROI, is if we had $10,000 given to them, they'll run X amount.
Yeah.
Is that negotiable? Is that, we'll give you the $10,000, but we want $12,000 back.
You mean after they install it, you
yes.
want some of their money back?
No.
That
no.
won't happen.
To put it in.
That's non-negotiable.
That doesn't happen.
Okay.
No. Yeah.
So what would be the advantage of not taking the full 5%?
What's the advantage?
Is there?
No.
No, I didn't think so. it's funny because the way it was explained to me by Charter is not what you're telling us.
And the way the people look at it is that you're charging them 5%.
Yeah, if we go up 5%, they're going to see
probably
a 5%.
Get it charged.
They're
anyway,
going to charge that
but the town gets no benefit.
Right.
In other words,
it was a political
yeah.
play on charter.
You look at the amount of increases in the cable rates over the last 10, 15 years, and you know, even for a year, it's like $5 every year it goes up. And the franchise fee is a small amount on everybody's bill. And what the cable company will say to you is, you're going to have people descending on you at your meetings, complaining that you're charging them more for their... That never happens. You might get one call or two calls saying, what's this fee on my bill? And you can explain to them that fee is being used to provide better communications between town government and the people in town. That's what it's being used for. You put it towards your communications with the folks in town. The thing about doing roads, using the franchise fee to do roads, how do you pick which roads you're going to do? Then you're going to get charged with favoritism, you know, if you say, we're going to do this road over here. You have to do it evenly. And that's why you have somebody who's an expert come in and do the survey, file the forms with the state, go through the process. Yeah, stay away from the backdoor deals that the cable company wants to talk you into.
Okay.
You know what? If Shelley wants to come down here and sit across the table with me and you, I'm happy to talk with her directly. So.
Well, we might call you back.
I'm happy to come.
No, thank you for coming in tonight. Really
Anytime.
Appreciate it. Thank you
Anytime.
Very much.
You're welcome.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bill?
Yes.
That's a question for him, actually.
Tony is.
Sorry. So he said the cable company, they can only charge so much if the franchise fee is in, correct? I didn't understand that.
Okay, it's a tricky concept. If you're a business and you have a product to sell and you have an idea of how much you can charge for that product before people go buy someone else's product,
right.
That's called as much as the market will bear, okay? That's the dollar amount. Let's say in the case of cable, it's $100, $100 a month for your cable TV bill. Okay, if they charge more than that $100 a month, people are going to drop cable and go get something else. So, if the town adds a franchise fee onto the bill, it's going to be $101.24 or whatever, you know, something like that. It's going to go over that amount that they've already set as much as the market will bear. So they can't now add their price increase on top of that. Because now it's really going to get people to leave. You understand that?
Right.
So if the town doesn't charge that amount, okay, if they don't charge anything, the cable company's still going to do an annual increase. And it's going to come up more than the franchise fee would have. Look at your past cable bills, and you'll see how much the increases have been.
Right. So no one's bill is going to... Say, person A's bill is $143, and person B's is $253, and they get the franchise fee. That person who's paying almost $300, their bill's not going to go down.
No.
Right. Okay.
No.
All right.
It's always
you.
Going up.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the question. I hope that
Thank you.
Explains
yeah.
it.
Yeah, you're doing streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're at the public input section here, where anybody can have up to 5 minutes to address the board and make your thoughts known. Brad?
They had a car fire yesterday on the causeway that did quite a lot of damage to our brand new paved road. And so I had Dayton Sand went in, they reclaimed it out. I got rid of the damage, I repaved the section this morning. And the town alignment is going to be mentioned in the insurance claim. So I'll be getting a report from state police on that, and then a dollar amount from Dayton Sand to submit the insurance company.
Good. Good. Anybody else? Yes.
Carrie Jo Sampson. The last joint meeting, someone mentioned about a food pantry. Do you know, is there a need here? And if so, do they need volunteers to research that? Has research been done? Do they need someone to...
We used to have a food pantry through the Lions Club, I believe, and that ended up folding, man, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago?
Yeah. Is that something the community does? Does the board do it? Who would I talk to?
No, that was done through the Lions Club as the ones that did the food pantry.
As far as need goes, it's unbelievable. When we were growing veggies full-time, we dealt with 3 food pantries, the largest being one in Biddeford. And the one in Biddeford would take 2 full-size pickup, level fold a day and 2-day-old vegetables 2 days a week, and it would disappear. Plus, I also ran close to a ton of butternut squash through them. The one in Alfred, probably a total of 300-400 pounds a week. Then we did another small one in Newfield. It was like a couple bush. But Good Shepherd organization would help you with that organization.
Yeah, the closest one is 44 miles from here. So.
Right.
Closest food bank?
No, but Good Shepherd is kind of like...
So start that as a POC then?
They kind of administer what they do. Mine was a... What we were involved in was a farm. They actually buy for like 15 cents a pound, not first-rate produce. And I'm just giving you those numbers. You asked about need.
Yeah.
To my knowledge... In what, 5, 6 years? And that's what we were doing that long ago.
So I was wondering if there is a need for it. I'd like to help, but I don't know if anybody, I have no idea where to start.
Good Shepherd is kind of, because I only know because we had the Waterboro food pantry, the library had some gift cards that we donated to them. But when she came in, she gave me the whole spiel. She started
kind of
the pantry walk.
She would give you, I donate to the Waterboro on every week, eggs and things like that. She's a wealth of information.
Yeah.
And also, whether you want it or not, you get that wealth of information when you walk through the door. She's awesome. She's looking awesome.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, thank you. We don't have any particular mail this week unless you guys have something. What's the
Select Board Council, Municipal, York County Budget Committee.
Okay. All right. Hang on. So there is a public hearing on the 23 proposed budget for the County of York, which is going to be held Wednesday, June 1st at 6:30 at the York County Government Building at 149 Jordan Springs Road in Alfred in the Commissioner's Meeting Room. This is an opportunity to attend the public hearing and comment on the budget. There is copies of the draft budget that we have. If anybody wants any of that.
Oh, here's the list of this. The bridge report from
Yep, I didn't even see that earlier.
There was more to this. This one?
Yeah.
What's that?
This bridge report.
Yeah.
That's 35, Cousins Bridge. Where is that bridge?
Which one?
Cousins Bridge. Have you seen that?
No, Cousins Bridge. Never heard of it.
Did you get it? Did you get the mail?
It's a culvert.
Brad, there was a report that came in from the Department of Transportation.
On the salt?
No, on this bridge inspection, 2021 bridge inspection report.
I never received it. I usually get stuff from the.
Do you have a basket here?
I do.
Could you please check it, because it has pictures and everything. I saw it and I said pass this on to.
Yeah, I'll look.
To Brad.
Yep, I'll check.
Yeah, there was a couple of them in there.
I have no idea which one's Cousins Bridge.
It said it's on 35?
Is it down before the sharp turn? That old mill house is there?
Oh, I mean, Day's Mills?
Is that down past Day Road?
Day's Mills, that's not Lyman anyway. If that's the bridge, it's not Lyman.
Yeah, the Lyman Ride line is just before that, if it's that bridge.
That one says, but there isn't a
there
is a
full report with color pictures and everything.
Yeah.
Is this a bridge or a culvert?
Probably is in there somewhere. I can ask Paul to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll make a note of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got
an
email. Yeah,
we had estimations on that big culvert over the Day Road, and we had Steve Spinn inspected when he was still working in that thing, Garrow.
Well, this letter basically is saying there is no available funding to repair this bridge.
Well, they agree a little more. They say we're responsible.
It says the municipality will continue to have maintenance responsibilities.
Right. If that's on 35, we don't have maintenance responsibilities.
We'd have to find out where that is.
I've got a note to check on that tomorrow.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean, what do we got for bridges? We got.
We picked the moderator.
We had that big culvert that they was talking about.
Just do it ahead with Rick.
That's good, right?
Well, if you can get that report tomorrow,
I will.
Brad,
shed some light on something.
Yeah, had color pictures and everything.
Okay, you want this background? No, okay.
Yeah, it's on Williams Road.
Yeah.
Yep. So there is a notice of violation from the Coe's office to people at 106 Williams Road regards to a junkyard, and that they have to come in and apply for a permit or clear up the junkyard.
What road is it on?
Williams.
One right by the fire. It's actually Causeway.
Well, the junk part is on the Causeway, which I notice they had 2 1-tons in there Saturday morning, cleaning it up, if that's the one.
That's probably why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty well cleaned up now.
Okay, complaints. I have one complaint I talked to Brad about this morning from Mr. Cherrier on the Walker Road. He's saying that after the town paved the road, he now gets excessive water in his yard, and it's undermining his driveway. So I talked to Brad, said, we'll go look at it. see what it is. John?
Did you see the one about rewriting the job application, job description? But no, that was in here. I can't put my finger on it right now. I'm misplaced. I just saw that in here.
Are you talking about posting the job application?
Yes, sir.
Yes, that was being done this afternoon.
Okay, super.
Yes.
Has it been taken down?
No, it's still on the website, but we're putting it out on Indeed. And
Do you reword it or anything?
I don't know what's been done with it. I'd have to look at it.
There's nobody out there. I just...
I know.
I just, before the meeting, I went to talk about it right at this point. I was doing some temp searches, just, you know, researching it online. And I talked to this one company out in Illinois called GovTemps USA, and they do more executive searches and temp placements, and they're saying across the country, no different than anybody else across the country, it's like slim to none.
So, Jessica, was that one you reworded some of it?
I just reworded the job posting.
And I think that's the one that Holly was posting.
Yeah. The telephone looks great.
Yeah.
It's
not as cool. Yeah. So hopefully we get some response to that.
Yeah, we had two applicants. One had another job offer, and the second backed out, from what I understand. Yeah.
Where my wife works, they got lucky. They got just hired two pretty decent ones off Indeed. So hit or miss, I guess.
Do you have anything?
Yep. I, at the risk of retribution, I'm going to make a couple comments about last Monday's meeting and what's happened since then. I talked to Bill. I think we should have it on the agenda called Facebook Corner. Make a statement, because we can't get on Facebook to defend ourselves. And so after last meeting, with the altercation that happened here, which I thought was unreasonable, and then we were accused of having an illegal meeting after the meeting, and it is 110% not true. We have three ring binders that we Jeanette prepares for us, and every meeting, which we have a list of all the meetings that we have been to for budget committee, and she asked us to put her in her office. And that's what we did. We were in and out of there in 15 seconds. And somebody has accused us of having an illegal meeting and has gone all over Facebook with it. And people are, as always, just taking it. Of course, it's election time, so it's a great time to spew all the mistruths. And I don't think it's fair to us. We've been hours and hours and hours. We've done this every time, and there was no illegal meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
Concur.
You concur?
Yes.
All right. Will you concur?
Yes.
All right.
I wasn't there.
You didn't miss anything.
Yeah.
Didn't miss a thing. Put your binder in there quick.
So we don't have any minutes to read for tonight, so we'll go to the warrants. Payroll warrant number 54 in the amount of $33,638.21.
So moved.
I'll second
that. Any discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Accounts payable warrant number 55 in the amount of $75,705.84.
So moved.
I got a question. It might just be to bring up the KCB is on here twice, the same exact number.
I asked the same thing. See the V on the left hand side?
Yep.
Those are voided checks. So they were reissued.
Because I could only find one back in the explanation.
Yeah, I saw one for Gerard Excavation, too.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. Thank you. Pass these this way. All right. The charter communications address list, we're still taking in anything from anybody that cannot get a normal hookup to internet. And what I mean by that is the normal connection fee for a normal base account should be the same for everybody in town. So if you're being told by Spectrum or Charter that it's going to be more or whatever, we need to know so that we can get people on this list to make sure that we cover
it. What is normal?
What is normal?
Is $15,000 normal?
No. I would say it's got to be what normal hookup fees, what, $50, $45, something like that for internet? Maybe as high as 100, but I doubt any more than that. HBO doesn't count any of those. But we want to make sure that if somebody lives on a road that there's a bunch of houses and they get a little bit longer driveway, that they can do the same price hookup as everybody. That's what we're trying to accomplish, so everybody gets equal access.
Pass it down to...
Yep. I need those back when you're done. Goodman's Mills Cemetery, I don't have anything new on that at all.
No, you go ahead. No,
I was going to share, I pulled together some people a week or two ago now, and we just a bunch of people getting together, cleaning up. Bill Harris stopped by there while we were there and just came over and, oh, how'd you get all these people over here? And I was like, oh, it was really just a random, like, whoever wants to stop by. And then he asked me if the town was going to take it over. And I said, that's really not anything that I'm involved in. I said, there's been a number of conversations I've heard at board meetings. Your name's been mentioned a couple times. And I would recommend that if you have a desire, that you could reach out to the town and have that conversation. I know it gets messy with money and all those things. I think a number of people kind of sparked some interest, and they were also talking to him about possibly coordinating with him directly. So,
and that's happening.
Ann Peckett,
she's been communicating and has spoken with him. So there is some grassroots movement.
Good. No, that's good.
That's nice.
Yeah, positive.
Some forward.
Okay. Oscar Littlefield Road, I have really nothing new on that. I know they're actively working the agreements to get them signed, so that's where we're at. Somewhere in here, we did have a treasurer's report and a tax collector report. The treasurer's report's here. Should be posted on our website if you want to see it. The tax collector report. Basically, the bottom line is they received so far this year $953,716.71, which is really right on target with what they anticipated. So we need to sign the town meeting warrant, which we've done. We need to approve the billing for the treasurer for Goodman's Mills Fire Department work. I believe everybody's got a list of the hours in their packet. At an hourly rate for the work, plus 25%, which comes out to, and mileage, which comes out to $1,098.78. So I just need a motion and a second to approve to submit this invoice for this coverage, and we'll go forward with it.
This is what we agreed with Jared, right? It was an hourly versus what?
So that was the night I went. I started in Dayton, came here, and then went back to Dayton, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So I might be able to follow. And then I think I had a conversation with Jeanette the day after. When I went back to Dayton that night, the Dayton board was not under the impression until then that Lyman was doing 100% of the fire department treasurer's work. When they didn't believe that Lyman was doing 100% of the treasurer's work, they figured the fair way was to break it out in an hourly rate, split the money, however you call it. But as they learned that evening that Jeanette was doing 100% of the fire department treasurer's work, they were okay paying the full amount as Jeanette initially proposed, which was the $15,000 annually divided by 12 times however many months Jeanette had been doing the fire department's work. And that's where I left the conversation with Jeanette. And I think my suggestion to her was to write an invoice and send it to Dayton. So I don't know.
I think that's a fair thing. If we're doing 100% of it, we should get 100% of it.
And obviously not speaking for any board of selectmen of any town, but I believe that is where Dayton had agreed upon the end of that long night.
Okay, so she must have had it all figured in. Since the 23rd, I'm just trying to look when, based on meetings.
Well, it's different from what this invoice would be, so if we're going to bill it for the month based on the full amount, I think that's what we should do.
$12.50 a month.
Yep. $15. Yep.
Right, and she was going to figure out when she started doing it, how many weeks this month, how many full months, and then...
Okay. The way this one's figured out is by the hour.
Yeah.
So
we need to go back to one.
Well, we can just decide what to do and we want to know what to do. If that works for you guys. Does that work, you think? So we need a motion to submit for 1/12 of the billing on a monthly basis.
What do you do with mileage?
So
that would be covered in it.
Second.
Any more discussion? All those in favor? 5-0. I can pass that word on. Okay. I think the easy way to do this is to make an overall motion to accept the ballot clerks. We just sign them individually, so it's to appoint ballot clerks for 2 years. Susan Locke, Faith Richards, Carol Baker Rue, Barbara Hall, Susan Gluck, Irene Single, Diane Rayshard, Amber Sweat, Carol Shaw Bourgeois, Joanne Ricker, Jennifer Croto, Nancy Soule, and Michelle Felicetti.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Okay, thank you. If you want to start with John, everyone's going to be signed.
Let's see.
I'm just going through my staff. All right. So I have here to appoint Michelle Felicetti as the warden for June 14th primary election. Yeah, that's just that one. Just need a motion.
Motion to
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor? Why don't you start at that end, roll it down. Here, this is a copy of the Animal Welfare Society agreement, which is for a total for the year of $6,539.34. And this is going to be effective July 1st, so I think we have to wait to sign that till after town meeting. I don't think we can sign that now. I think we should wait on that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else on here that I missed?
Does the budget reflect that number?
Yes, it does.
Closing the town hall.
We talked about that last meeting, and we had a lot of people that liked the offices open, so we were going to leave it that way. You have in your packets a nomination for Spirit of America Volunteer Recognition Program. I would just recommend you read that, and then we can do something with that next meeting if you would like to. I'm going to give you some time to think about it. All right. I think that is everything. So, I need a motion to go on the executive session.
Well,
for that.
Are we going to set any meetings?
Oh, actually, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. We talked about for the public hearings for the warrant articles for town meeting to set some public hearings for that.
It's easy to deal with. So there's the bullet.
So we're talking about setting up at least three public hearings, one in the daytime during the week, one in the evening during the week, and one on a weekend. We can do four if you want to do a daytime weekend and an evening weekend, but I need some suggestions from everybody what to do.
Four is a little much.
Well, I'm just trying to give people the flexibility to be able to attend. The warrants will be posted tomorrow at five sites in town and on the website, our website. So those will be done tomorrow.
Bill, you don't have to have public hearings this year for the town ballot because it's just candidates. You only have public hearings if there's a referendum on the secret ballot because everything will be talked about at town meeting.
But we always have had a public hearing for town meeting.
Correct. On referendum questions that you vote for secret ballot because you don't have a chance to talk about it. In the public, like you would at town meeting, everything's going to be discussed. But, I mean, it's totally up to you, but you don't have to because it's just candidates on the ballot.
Okay. I understand that. I think we should still have a public hearing so that people have an opportunity to come in and ask questions freely so that when they go to town meeting, they have an understanding of what needs to be done.
Absolutely.
And I think we should offer that to everybody.
We also said that any difference between the select board and the budget would have an explanation for it.
Well, that's a good place for it to go out. It's in the public hearing. That's the place where people can ask the questions. Mm-hmm. Why? So I'm assuming the budget committee would attend a public hearing to answer questions?
First we're hearing about it, but... I can't speak for anybody.
No. Morris?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. All right, so I'd like to set some dates so we can post them on the website and the sign and let people know what's going on. If you guys don't mind.
not sure if there's any meetings this week on Wednesday or Thursday or not. Jessica, is there a charter commission this week? No.
You guys start throwing them out. I got to look at my schedule because daytime's going to be tough for me.
Well, not everybody has to be there, but yeah. I'd like to have three anyway, you know? That'd be kind of nice.
Yep.
Well, what do you think would be good times, John? During the day, should it be afternoon?
Yeah, it's got to be afternoon. I'm going to be here.
Yeah? What's anybody think? We're looking for input.
I don't know what time everybody could get here during the day.
I know, but not my perspective, but I won't be here during the day. Mm-hmm. I can tell you that.
Well, I mean, if you're looking to get... normal shift work going on that schedule.
Yeah, on the weekends, I don't know, I think during the day on any of these weekends, especially if it ain't raining, people will be outside playing. That's why we moved town meeting away from weekends. Nobody would show up.
I'm open to ideas. I think we need to offer it.
Yep. Whether they
come or not, we have to offer it.
Yep.
Next rainy Saturday.
After a full moon.
Yeah. Last one you ought to play, it's like the last full moon in May. It's still good for us,
I think you just set them to work.
Yeah,
set whatever them. Happens, happens.
Set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Ron, is it between now and June 14th, right?
Yes.
So you only have... This weekend is Memorial Day, and then you have June 4th, which is a Saturday. That's
correct.
That's your one weekend choice.
Right.
Okay. Right.
No. No, I don't think Memorial Weekend would be a good idea.
Yeah, the 4th of November, 6th, and 8th.
It's supposed to be a Saturday, Sunday, though.
Yeah, 2 weekends. The 4th and 11th.
Who's got yours?
I'm open to ideas.
Say it sooner than later.
All right, the 4th.
For what time?
Saturday.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, right?
Time is all day, life is open.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Well, I don't care. 1 o'clock on a Saturday. Ruins people's Saturday.
Okay.
I mean, they're not going to be that
awesome. Just 10 o'clock, whatever. I'll be there. 10 a.m. That's
what you Saturday, 10 a.m.?
So I want the sleepyhead to sleep, get a little breakfast.
What Saturday?
4th.
The 4th.
Oh, okay. 10 a.m.
Yo, you won't get me on a Saturday.
They're going to try. We got to offer it. Morris.
No, you don't even understand me.
No. We'd be a short meeting.
So if we're going to do
it. Well, the only thing I'm saying is you're going to take me for it. If you offer on a Saturday, right?
Yeah, but we're doing.
I listened to Tommy tonight, right? Right? So if you want a Saturday, and all good, doing the best you can, is what I'm saying, right? And you offer a Saturday, you're going to take a ton of grief. Why do they offer him a Saturday?
Yeah, but we're going to offer 2 other days besides that.
Okay, all right. That's good then.
All right?
Yeah.
So, June 4th. How about May 31st? 6 p.m.
What day is that?
Tuesday. After Memorial Day.
That's the first day you could do it anyway.
No, there's no requirement for public hearing notices.
There isn't?
No.
7 days?
No.
Because this public hearing is
required. Do you think people may be extending their Memorial Day? I'm just
They were given three choices.
How about
Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
June
2nd, 3rd, and
4th. 2nd, 3rd. I was going to say June 7th. We can either do a 4 p.m. or we could do another 6 p.m.
7th, 6 p.m. Good for me.
Nope.
6 p.m.
Yep, that looks good. Awesome. That is great, Dan. Thank you. Okay.
That's two.
That's three.
What was
it? There's May 31st at 6 p.m.,
oh.
June 4th at 10 a.m., and June 7th at 6 p.m.
Two 6 p.m.s?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the other one's on the Saturday.
Yep.
No. Yeah.
No, Saturday at 10.
Both on it.
But both weekdays are 6?
Yes.
I thought you were doing a morning.
I can do it either way. But I'm thinking of the shifts, and how do you do... you could do 2 p.m. on one of the days.
Well, it's usually 7 to 3:30.
7 to 3, 8 to 4, 6 to 2.
Yeah.
I used to work them all. 6 to 2 is great.
Okay, pick one.
I still think you get more people later.
At 6 p.m.?
Than you would at 4.
All right,
I'm guessing your morning one is you're wanting to catch the people that work at night.
Yes.
Most of them probably go to bed late.
Yeah. Could be.
I don't know.
All right, so we're going to leave it at that for now. We'll see how it goes.
Sorry, are they in person or is it Zoom? And is that working for the last question? So they can't
physically... Well, hopefully we're going to be able to at least record it so that people can watch them. Okay, so we need to do our last item. Yeah. Yep. You got it? You want to read it?
Yep, I make a motion to go into executive session, discuss Title I MRSA, Section 405, 6A, Reason Personal Matters.
Personnel.
Oh, personnel. Sorry, personal.
I need a second.
Oh, I second. Sorry.
All right. Any discussion? All those in favor?
I got no idea what this one's about, so just abstain. I'm not voting no.
Okay. All those in favor, we voted, so we're all set to go in executives. You going to be around at all, or are you headed out? Can I call you?
You can call
me. I'll call you.
All right.
Thank you.
There's nothing that we're going to come back in to vote on?
No, not right now.
Okay. Got to make sure Brandon is off.
Yeah.
Brandon.